This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 1 reads this way. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together in your house this morning. Lord, we know that your word tells us that where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst, especially when we're in your name, and specifically, Lord, in your church today. And so we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We ask, Lord, for your blessing, that you would empower the service with your Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you, that we would worship you in truth and spirit. Lord, that you would be glorified and our lives empowered to walk with you for your glory, and that we might be the witnesses you've called us to be. And then, Lord, if there's anyone in here today that does not know you as Savior, that this would be the day that they would realize their need of your salvation, that you paid the price completely, and it's a gift given to them that changes our lives, and, Lord, that they might be redeemed, if that's the need here this morning. Again, bless and we'll thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is A Faith That Grows Exceedingly. We want to look at what brings on a faith that grows exceedingly. Let me ask you this first of all. Does God want your faith to grow? Are you sure? All right. So let me ask you this. Could you prove your answer from the Bible? Could you prove in the Bible that God wants us to grow in grace? Many times that's mentioned, growing in the grace of God, that our faith might grow, that it would glorify Him. And so I think we can prove from the Bible in many places. But here's a question. Listen, we know it's God's will. We know that it could be proved from the Bible, but this is also an important question. Do you want a faith that grows? Because it stops right there. If you don't want your faith to grow, if you don't expect that your faith can grow, it won't grow. Because it takes faith, that means trust, to believe that God wants it to grow and that God will enable it to grow. And that will set you free. Listen, if we'll realize it is God that brings forth the growth in our life, that puts all the obligation where? Not on us, on Him. He wants it to grow, and so, Lord, we say, we pray, and we ask, Lord, that you might grow the faith you've given to me. Lord, that you might help me to grow in the grace that you've given to me. Lord, ultimately, not that I might have everything my way, but that you would have your will for me. Now, fathom this thought. God has a specific and particular will for everybody in this room. The first part of that will is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That you realize that our sins, let me say that again, our sins, because there's no man that sinneth not, it separates us from a holy and righteous God. And it took the righteous sacrifice of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross to give us eternal life. That's the foundation. That's where it all begins. That's important for the unbeliever to know, and that's equally important for the believer to be reminded of it. In fact, as you read the Scriptures, it's mentioned throughout all the Scriptures. My goodness, as you read the New Testament, you would think the whole topic about the New Testament is salvation. Well, you would be right, wouldn't you? You would think that the whole crux of the New Testament, in fact, of the whole Bible, is for the glory of God and for the blessing of the people that choose to follow the Lord. And you would be right there as well. The problem, I think, happens sometimes is when we forget that God wants our faith to grow, that he's written that down in the Word of God, and the rest, the choice, that's all it is. Just a choice is left to us. It's just a choice. Yes, God, I want your will in my life. God has not asked us to perform that. He's promised to do that through us. And that's incredibly important, because it helps us to look at this. When we look at our own lives and it does not match up with what God's promises are, we can say, Lord, something's wrong here. And I will just tell you this, 100% of the time, it's in our mind. And it's in our understanding. And it's in our thinking. Now, I mentioned this a while back ago, and this is important to repeat here when we consider this. And that is, let me ask you this. If you want to grow in the grace and faith of God, would you say amen?
Amen?
Amen? All right. So this is important. If you want to grow in the grace of God, let me ask you this. As we consider the Word of God, is it a truth or the truth? It's the truth, right? Let me ask you that again. Is the Word of God a truth or the truth? The truth. All right, now that's important, because that means that everything outside of the Word of God is what? If this is the only truth, everything outside of the Word of God is what? It's not. It's untruth. It's a lie. Okay, now listen. If the Word of God says that he holds me in his hands, and there is a time that I feel like he's not holding me in his hands, is my feeling right, or is the Word of God right? Where am I? Am I in his hands? Do you mean to tell me, even if I don't feel that way, I'm in his hands? Well, my goodness, you've just allowed me to understand the truth of the Word of God, and I have been set free. Because there are times that sometimes I feel like I'm out of his hands. But you know, the truth of the matter is, I am always in his hands. Now, that's the faith part. The faith part is, when I don't feel like I'm in his hands, I'm going to choose not to believe what the devil might be saying to me, what my mind might be saying to me, and what the world might be telling me. So I choose to believe the truth over everything else. Now, that's where the believer is set free. You were set free in salvation to believe the Word of God in detailing your salvation. And because you believe that the Word of God was telling you that all the work was done in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's by his righteousness that we're made whole, and that he never leaves us nor forsakes us, you have that assurance of your eternal life. God gave you the understanding that set you free. I remember I was saved for a very short time, and if you remember, I was not brought up in church. And so I was saved for a very short time, a couple of months. And I had somebody who professed to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior tell me that I could lose my salvation. Told me that, could lose my salvation. Well, if I could do something to lose the gift that God has given to me, that means I must have done something to get the gift. Okay, now, you know what happened in my mind? The brakes went on. And I said, what? Can you explain that to me? And then as he was telling me, giving me this explanation, now listen, I did not know the Bible all that well. He began to tell me, well, you know, the apostles. And he named some of them, and he threw Pilate in there. And he threw some other things in there. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And I was reading the Word of God, and into the Word of God. Every evening I would come home and read the Word of God, and God gave me a new appetite for spiritual things, and I couldn't wait to get to it. And then all of a sudden I read about Pilate, and I thought, well, my goodness, he was never one of the apostles. So if he got that wrong, he probably missed something. And then all of a sudden I started reading about salvation being a gift, and it's all of the Lord, and he's given it all completely to us with no strings attached. And I was set free. If I trusted the Lord completely when I got saved. I could have believed that fella that told me I could lose my salvation, if I would have believed him over the truth, how well do you think I would have been living for the Lord? How well do you think I would have been enjoying the salvation? How clear would the light of God be shining through my life? Would it be obstructed with those doubts? That, oh my goodness, you know, I'm so glad, really, that my parents love me unconditionally. I, because if anybody deserved to be disowned, it probably would have been me. I mean, I've done more dumb things probably than any of the four kids. And yet, you know, the door's always open. You know why? Because I'm in the family. And they love me unconditionally. And even more important than I love my own children, God loves us in a much greater way, in a more perfect way. Isn't that good? And so we are in his hand. Now listen, if I would have believed what that fella told me, how well do you think I would have been living the life that God wants to live through me? How well do you think I would have understood the freedom and the liberty that God has purchased for me? Do you think it would have been obstructed a little bit and hindered a little bit? So it stands to reason, hear clearly, listen, that if we don't understand the truths that we've been given in the Word of God and understand that God wants to grow our faith, he wants to grow our faith, he wants us to grow, and he's the enabler for us to grow in the grace of God. If we don't understand that the right way, you and I will be obstructed as well in our walk with the Lord. So hear this very clearly this morning, and I want you to see, first of all, when we consider a faith that grows exceedingly, I want you to consider that a growing faith will encourage sister churches. It will encourage the membership of that specific church, but it will encourage our relationship with sister churches. We've got a sister church in Ashland, and Brother Kevin Ambergi is the pastor over there. Amen? And so we can be an encouragement to our sister church. We've got another one in Columbia, right? Brother Hightower, I believe, is a pastor there. So we can encourage them. How? Well, listen to what he says here in verse 4. So that we ourselves, in fact, look back in verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you. That is a testimony, listen, not that you can have, but that God has given you. God has already given this to you. All we have to do is walk in that truth. Amen? If I would have walked in the lie that that fellow told me about losing my salvation, I would have been miserable. I was set free by the word of God. I was already a saved child of God. But somebody was trying to redirect me away from the truth. Listen, I am so glad that in my mind, the word of God prevails over what anybody says. Amen? Is that true in your life as well? Because that will set you free. This Bible is the rock, the word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the rock, and he's given us his word that we might understand our relationship that he's given to each and every one. All right. So with that, notice verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. So we know it's talking about believers. As it is meet, that means it's a help, right? A help meet. Because as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity, that's the love of every one of you all, toward each other aboundeth. Amen. So listen, when the grace of God is working in the life of a church, We are the recipients first of the love of God, and then it spreads out from there. Listen, God wants to fill our cup, our life, 1/4 of the way? All the way to the top? Oh, further than that. How far? Overflowing, because the full cup of the grace of God and the understanding of the relationship and love that he has for you is for us in a full cup. The stuff that flows out is for our families, our church family, our sister churches, and the whole world. Isn't that good? Listen, that's God's plan. All right? So he says, your faith, it grows exceedingly, and the charity and verse 3 at the bottom there, of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves, now this is specifically talking about Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus and all the other apostles and ministers of God, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. That's important. Listen, why is that so important? This is the growing faith that affects the sister churches, and a growing faith is a token of God's righteous judgment that we are counted worthy of by the Lord to suffer these things. Now, this is the part that very few churches are preaching on today. They, you know what they want to tell you? Oh, listen, when you live right for God, everything goes your way. Please, pray tell, show me that in the Word of God. That Paul must have been a lousy believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, my goodness, he was beat up, he was shipwrecked. See, that is a prosperity gospel concerning the material realm. And God's book tells us that the most important realm is the spiritual realm, where our relationship with him is at. Amen. Now, it ought to overflow and affect the physical realm. It should. And God wants it to. And if we want God to have his will, that's part of it. So here it is, ready? All of a sudden, a trial enters into our life. An obstruction, something happens that we go, whoa, I didn't see that coming. So here's the question, ready? At that moment, are you still in God's hands? Oh, you may not feel that way. But you're not. You feel like you're not in God's hands. The world will help you with that, and they will say, "Well, now where's your God? Won't they? Where's your God now? What are we going to say? What does the Word of God say? Holds me right in His hands. And do you know what an amazing truth is? And I don't understand it. But as you've experienced difficulties in your life, and as you have come through them and look back, you could say, oh, God had me the whole time. And now I can see why he did what he did. Now, there are some things, and this is okay too, that we could look back on and say, I'm still not sure. But one thing I know, I was always in his hands. You know why? Because God's word rules. Amen? In spite of what the world is saying or doing, and we have to be careful about this. Listen, this will hinder our walk with the Lord. Everybody is doing it. Oh, no, they are not. Oh, no, they are not. You know, it's important that God's people walk pure before Him. Does God want us to be defeated by sin? Does God want us to walk in the flesh? So we have to say, God, you've overcome this in me. I'm going to walk in that truth. I'm going to choose to sing a song instead of allow my mind to have an impure thought or have a thought regarding something vindictive or getting back or trying to do something or trying to reach out for something that you don't want me to participate in. I'm going to trust in you and not in myself and not in the world. And so, you know, the Lord, really, through the Apostle Paul, was encouraging the Thessalonian church that they were, and what they were experiencing. And do you know what the Thessalonian church did not do? My goodness, Paul, I am so glad you told me that. I had no idea. Do you think they knew that they were growing in the grace of God exceedingly? Do you think that their faith was growing? Do you think they understood that their faith was growing? Yeah, we will too. As soon as all of a sudden we see when we come into contact with something that would beset us or try to overthrow us and God gives us the victory, what are we going to sing? How great thou art. When God carries us through, we can sing, how great thou art. Because the Word of God tells us to keep our eyes where? On Him. On God. On the Lord. Every time we look to ourselves, it's an amazing thing. We fail. Every time we go by what we feel and what we think, you will sit on your couch and be defeated, spiritually speaking. I promise you that. How do I know that? Oh, you had to ask. I've been there. And here's the good thing. And if I'm there again, I'll know that I don't have to be, by the grace of God. You don't have to live a defeated life, not because of what we can do, but because of what God has already done. Which way, what are you going to believe? What the world is telling you, how you feel, or what the Bible says? That's where the freedom is at. God, bring this to pass. Listen, if I don't understand it, does that nullify the truth of the Word of God if I don't understand it? God, I believe it. I may not fully understand everything, but I want to walk in the truth. And you know, I cannot tell you how many times God has come in and blessed every time. Every time. No matter what we face, question, who's going to deliver us? Can God deliver us? Has He delivered us in the past with salvation? You're here this morning, so guess what? He has delivered you in the present, or you wouldn't be here. Can He deliver you in the future? And yet doth deliver. Amen? All right. Now watch this. Look at verse 5. And here what we understand is a growing faith as a token of God's righteous judgment in your life. Listen, let me say that again. A growing faith, if your faith is growing, and if not, it's only our understanding. God wants our faith to grow, and if it's not growing, it's because I'm holding it back. Lord, have your will and your way in every area of my life. I want to experience a growing faith, an exceedingly growing faith. You know what the word exceeding means? Well, if you've ever been on the highway, and all of a sudden these lights pop up in your rearview mirror, and you stop, and the police officer says, I'm sorry, ma'am or sir, do you know that you were exceeding the speed limit? That means you were going over. Now, why is that so important? Because God wants us a faith that exceeds our own expectations. God wants our faith to continually exceed our expectations. Because is God an infinite God? Absolutely He is. Now listen, we have to do this. If you really want to grow in the Lord, here's what we have to do. Let me just say this. You don't have to do it, but it will help you. And that is to understand this truth. Ready? God's ways are not, you finish it, our ways. Do you believe that? Are God's thoughts and ways higher than ours? So we need to give God room to work outside of the way that we think. Because He'll do that. And then we have to give God the room to receive His thinking outside of our box. Because God is infinite. Now listen, I want you to know that this is easy to say until we're going through it. And we have to be careful not to be offended in our God. And by the way, you can ask God, God, please, I don't want to be offended when you don't think or work the way that I expect you to work. Don't answer this out loud. Have you ever been taken by surprise in what we would think would be a negative way when God doesn't work the way we think He should work? Because here's how we think. We think that God ought to do good how we think. And God says, there are some things that I know I need to do and want to do that you won't see, we won't see as being good. We may not even understand that on this side of eternity. The first century Christians, you think that was a great time? Wait a minute, it was. It was a great time. The brand new truth was being preached. Question, the 3,000 souls that got saved when Peter preached at Pentecost, when the church was empowered, and then he preached and 3,000 souls got, do you think any one of those 3,000 souls thought, this is not a good day? Do you think they all rejoiced in the Lord? Do you think salvation in their minds, as it is in our minds, was the greatest thing that ever happened to us? And then yet they were persecuted. Do you think God worked outside of their box? Do you think there's one regret in heaven today of the way God worked in their lives? Not one. They would all say, now I understand, Lord. Because that we have the mind of Christ when we're there. Now listen, we need the Lord. We need the Lord to grow in His grace. We need the Lord for Him to live out His will through us. It's not us doing it for Him. It's Him doing it for us. And we need Him to give us the peace and the understanding and the boldness. Or we'll be like Peter. Oh, they'll all forsake you, Lord, not me. He was the first one that cried out. We'll do the same thing without the grace of God. Listen, it's important to have a growing faith. It's important that we really examine ourselves and look at where our stance is with our God. It's what's important, that we might stand right before Him in unison and in fellowship with Him. Very quickly, verse 5. Which is a manifest token, this is the token of a growing faith, of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Now watch this, and as we look at verse 6, notice what's happening here. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Now I promise you, not one of them is saying, oh good, good. They're not doing that. They're realizing this, but for the grace of God opening up my eyes, I'd be in their shoes. Oh God, that they might know you. Lord, that we might be a witness of your grace. The centurion at the cross, when the Lord died, didn't he say, truly, this is the Son of God? Amen. That was a testimony of the grace of God, even in death, that gave a witness of the truth. God wants to do that in your life and mine, as we are willing to die to self on this side of eternity, that He might live through us. It can't be both. It can't be our life and His. It's got to be all His, or it won't happen. So notice what happens here. He says, verse 6, seeing that it is a righteous thing with God, and because He is a righteous God, to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and notice, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. At one time, listen, it's going to be a righteous judgment one day. We're not asking for that right now. That is God's doing, and we allow Him to do His work and His will in our society. But it's our part to allow the grace of God and our faith that He's given to us to grow, that we might point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one day that's going to be a righteous judgment. But as you and I look at it on this side of eternity, oh, may our hearts go out to those that do not know what they're headed toward. My mother and father are headed toward that judgment because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They've not made a profession of knowing Him as their personal Savior. You think I ought to rejoice in that? No, I ought to cry out to God, oh God. Open up their hearts and their minds that they might know you personally as their Savior. Listen, the ugliest person you know, when I mean by that, that may do ugly things, you wouldn't wish that upon them. You know why they do the ugly things? The selfish things, the unkind things, because they don't know the Lord as their Savior. And oh God, listen, if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would I be? I'd be just as guilty. Everybody that knows the Lord is just as guilty. But for the grace of God, it could be us. Notice verse 9. A growing faith, here we see, reveals trust in God regarding our trouble. Notice verse 9. Who shall be punished? All these that have rejected the Lord. With an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Do you believe that's going to happen one day? There's no doubt in my mind. And that ought to move us with a reverential fear to allow God to live through us, that we might be a light to them. Listen, that centurion was not on the Lord's side, and yet was able to say, because of the grace of God. You remember what the Lord said when they were mocking Him on the cross? Do you remember? They'd already plaited the thorn of crowns on His head. They pulled His beard. They spit. You think He was a bloody mess? He had been beaten. And most times, I don't need to tell you, you know the cat of nine tails had all kinds of sharp metal and glass. And it had nine cords, leather, and it would wrap around as they whipped the person, and then they would pull it back, and it would. A lot of them died because their innards fell out before they even got to the cross. You think that was a horrible situation? And then the Lord said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And the centurion, after the Lord died, said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." All he knew was what he heard and what he saw. And that was enough to help him understand the truth. What does the world see in us? If it's not Christ, they'll not believe the message. Is it important to tell others? It is. But what about the life, the change that God brings? Should that not be prevalent as well? As you read the Word of God, the churches that were turning the world upside down, God was working in. God was moving. There were some that were cold, and some that had forsaken their first love in Revelation. And He cautioned them to strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. They're ready to die. Where's your faith at? On a scale from 1 to 10. Your own self, your own test. Where's your faith at? You know, we all like that number 5, don't we? Right in the middle. Right? And how we like to grade everything. Even if it's poor, we don't want to give it a 2. Let's stick a number 5 on there. Well, that's right in the middle. Neither hot nor cold. God's not excited about that. The truth is, it makes Him sick. Do you know why? Because He's equipped us by His grace to be more than a 10. A 10 pushing beyond 10. He has blessed us with His grace if we will just be set free by the truth that He wants to do the work in our lives to go beyond. A faith that grows exceedingly is what He wants. Verse 10. Well, look at verse 9 again. It says, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power?" This is what's going to happen one day. They're going to ask for it. They're not going to repent. And since they did not want God in their hearts and minds, He will remove them from His presence. It's what they asked for. He will graciously give them. Unfortunately, what they asked for that they did not understand. And then lastly, I want you to realize that a growing faith reveals a belief in God's will for our life to be done in our lifetime. Not to be done in the future. We like that. Yeah, one day, in the sweet by and by, I'll overcome sin by the grace of God. No, God wants it to happen now and to be in the process of taking place. That's what excites the believer. I'm watching Him do something in my life. I am presenting my body for Him to fulfill His will. And I am watching Him overcome, putting my heart and mind and my thoughts in the things that are pure and have a hunger and a thirst for the things that are of His righteousness. Not what the world says is right and wrong, but what He says is right and wrong. And a desire to see that fulfilled in my life. And we'll finish up quickly over here. Look at verse 10. It says, when he shall come to be glorified, where? In his saints. And in case you wondered, that's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the idea of being a saint is not perfection. You'll never find one place that God says pray to a saint. I wouldn't want you to. You shouldn't want you to, because you are one if you're saved. If you know the Lord is your Savior, you want somebody to pray to you? What for? They're not going to get anything out of that. It's to the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the angel when John was getting the revelation? Twice John tried to bow down before him. Oh no, listen, I'm a servant like you, the Lord only. And that was because the glory of God was on that angel. So verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill 25%. 50%? I know you know the answer, but why do you think? I want you, and God wants you, more important than me, God wants us to see and know this when we hit the wall. Because God wants it. The wall is what we think things ought to work. God wants to take us beyond that. And so he wants to fulfill all, verse 11, the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith in your strength and my strength. With power. Whose power? Listen, if I were to believe what that fellow told me about losing my salvation, I would not be in this pulpit today. That was before I got called to preach. I would have said, forget it, I can't do it. Because if I've got to do something to keep my salvation, I know I'm going to lose it. And if I've got it at this moment, I know at any moment, if it's up to me, I can lose it. But once I saw that God has set me completely free and that I'm in his hands, when God called me, I heard it. And when God said, here's what I want you to do, because I'll enable you to do it. And I'm with you. And I don't leave you or forsake you. Guess how that made me feel? Well, then if you're doing it, I'm with you. Amen? I can be assured of that. All right? Verse 12, and we're done. What's the purpose of it all? This growing faith, this exceedingly growing faith. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in your pastor alone. Oh, just in the Apostle Paul. Because we all look at Paul. Read the writings of Paul, the Holy Scriptures. And he'll tell you, I am what I am because I'm so wonderful, won't he? No. Because of the grace of God. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him. And ye in him. How is the name of God going to be glorified? Because you're in him. According to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. A faith that grows exceedingly, may I tell you this, is the will of God for every believer. If we'll just believe it. If we'll just say, okay, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. It's what you did for eternal life. I'm not going to anymore just say, well, that's just me. Well, God saved you from that. Just you. Because just you, me too, condemned me before my God. But the grace of God says, I want you beside me. In fact, even better than that, I want you in me and I'm in you. Can it be any better? Do you want a faith that grows exceedingly? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given to us, the understanding and wisdom that it brings. And Lord, I pray that you would give each and every one of us a hunger and a thirst for the truth, Lord, that we would not lean to our own understanding, but that we would look to your word for true wisdom and understanding and freedom that you've already given to every believer and that you want to give to those that don't know you. Lord, I pray that you would bless Northwood Baptist Church, our visitors that have come here this morning, and Lord, others that will come in the future, and Lord, that ultimately you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and that souls would be saved and encouraged, Lord, because of what you've provided. Bless, Lord, this day, and may each and every one of us be able to say it's been good to be in your house. And we'll praise and thank you, for we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.